Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the March 22nd, 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about July's Hatlin Arts and Music Festival with guest Kim Winicky. Lauren Brooks will be here with a preview of next weekend's NAC conference. We'll also get the details about next week's Choose Respect Rally in March with guests John Muller and Sarah Lynn Tabachnik. Kathy Reddy will be giving us a preview of tomorrow's Art of Place lecture discussion and demonstration with Ed and Percy Coons. And Nancy DeTrini will be here with a rundown on art activities in the capital city doing Arts Up. At Writers' Almanac, music more today on a Juneau afternoon.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Indigenous people in Argentina say their rights have been suppressed by the country's government. The Qom people are taking a land rights case before the country's Supreme Court. They're seeking territorial rights after a high-profile clash with police more than a year ago. David Summerstein reports from Argentina.
In November 2010, near the northern Argentinian border with Paraguay, the province of Formosa tried to evict the Qom tribe from its land to build a university. The 5,000-person tribe set up a roadblock to stop the provincial police. The result, as broadcast on Channel 13 News, was a bloody clash that left a tribal member and a policeman dead.
El fracaso de la autoridad abre paso a la violencia y a la muerte.
The Qom took their case to the capital, Buenos Aires, where a 5-month encampment in the city center and a 7-day hunger strike captured national attention. Last week, Argentina's Supreme Court heard the Qom's argument for ownership of some 1,500 acres of land for the first time. The tribe spokesman, Felix Diaz, says the hearing was very positive. He says the Qom have become, quote, a symbol for all the indigenous tribes of Argentina. The tribe is making its case internationally, too. This week, Diaz is flying to Washington to speak before the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. For National Native News, I'm David Summerstein in Buenos Aires.
More than 60 bison from Yellowstone National Park are transferred to a Montana reservation. According to the Associated Press, the buffalo were shipped this week almost 500 miles to the Fort Peck Reservation. A yearling died during the trip, leaving 63. In December 2011, the relocation plan was approved for the buffalo to be moved to the Fort Peck and Fort Belknap reservations. Property owners and ranchers have opposed the transfer. The tribes have commercial herds. On Wednesday, a ceremony was held to welcome home the genetically pure herd of bison. A Wisconsin tribe and the State Department of Natural Resources have reached an agreement over walleye bag limits. The Lac des Flambeaux tribe and the state announced the agreement this week. A 3 walleye per day bag limit for sport anglers was agreed to for most lakes the tribe harvests. This year marks 15 years the tribe and state have cooperated on the agreement, which they say helps support tourism in the area. A court decision in the 80s affirms off-reservation hunting, fishing, and gathering rights. The bands of Wisconsin Chippewa set annual harvest quotas for off-reservation lakes in the ceded territory. The tribe and state work together to make sure tribal and recreational angler harvests do not jeopardize the ability of walleye to sustain its population in any lake. A rare ceremonial club returns to Canada. According to the CBC, the club given to explorer Captain James Cook by a First Nation was donated this week to the University of British Columbia. It was given to Cook by people of Vancouver Island's west coast in 1778. The club is carved from wood in the shape of a hand holding a sphere. It's valued at $1.2 million. And will be displayed at the university's Museum of Anthropology, which houses more than 10,000 objects from around the world. On this day in 1837, U.S. Brigadier General John E. Wool addressed Cherokee people at New Akata, Georgia. Wool advised them they had until May 25, 1838, to move to land set aside for them west of the Mississippi, under terms of a treaty. He said if they did not move, they would be forcibly removed by U.S. soldiers. Wool eventually resigned and was replaced by General Winfield Scott, who began the removal of Cherokees from their homelands. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use Pick, Click, Give when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Sunny weather reminds us of summer coming up around the corner, and summer reminds us of the Atlin Arts and Music Festival in July. On the phone with me now from Atlin is Kim Winicky, one of the organizers of the event. Kim, thank you very much for being on the air with me today.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me.
So can you give us a background about how Atlin Arts and Music Festival got started, please?
It got started about, this is our 9th festival, and we took a year off, so 11 years ago. And we took a year off in 2009 and then came back last year. Actually, we took off 2010 and then we came back in 2011.
So, did it start as just a music festival?
It's visual. Well, we do arts, visual arts. So we have we have 9 artists coming up, and they do a range of demonstrations and workshops, so a lot of interacting with the artists. And then we show films as well. The Yukon Film Society brings down like 10 to 15 films, and those are played all weekend long. And then we do music, so we do it. And then we have a storyteller this year, a couple storytellers coming. So there's a whole range of entertainment available.
Could you give us a quick geography lesson on where Atlin is?
Atlin is in the north, the northeast. It's right on the Yukon-BC border. And from you guys, from Juneau, you take the ferry over to Skagway, and it's about an hour and a half drive to us. So you drive up to Carcross and hang a right, and then hang another right, and then you'd be in Atlin.
And how long does it take to get to from Skagway?
From Skagway, it'd say an hour and a half drive.
Cool. And you're on the air today to talk about the lineup that you've just been announcing recently.
Yeah, that's right. And I think some folks will want to make the drive or the ferry trip because we've got some really, really great acts. We have a lot of Canadian acts coming up, but the ones I'll highlight for you guys specifically is we have David Lindley coming up, and he's an amazing multi-instrumentalist who I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. And he was Jackson Browne's accompanist for many, many years, and he has his own band, El Rayo X. He'll be coming up as a solo act, but I saw him solo like 15 years ago, and it was one of the most engaging performances I've ever seen, so I'm really happy that he'll be coming up. And the other really big headliner that we're bringing up is David Guzman, and he's coming up with his folk jazz trio, and that's himself and Jim Hurst, who's an incredible flat picker on guitar, and Jim will be singing as well, as will David. And they have James Kerwin on upright bass. So that they do folk and jazz standards and some originals. And probably most of you folks are familiar with David Guzman, but I was most familiar, or I was introduced to him because he played a lot of Guzman and Garcia are the albums that I'm familiar with Jerry Garcia. And he's just an amazing mandolin player, producer, and a real supporter of acoustic music. So he'll be coming up and doing a workshop and a main stage with us. So I'm excited about that one. But we also have, it's a really eclectic festival. So we have a world music band from Senegal who now lives in Quebec in Canada. And they're a 5-piece, so percussion-based. And then we have old-time music with Annie Liu, BC and Yukon artists with some Ontario folks mixed in now. And we have some First Nations artists, a few singer-songwriters. Del Barber is a real up-and-coming Canadian singer-songwriter. And Gary Como is a Cajun artist, and he'll be coming up as well. So we have 2 acts from New Zealand coming. Mihi Rangi is, she's sort of vocal looping, so she's coming up with an accompanist, but her trademark is just having a loop pedal build up her a cappella sounds into really multi-layered percussive vocal combinations. So she's very engaging. And then an acoustic trio called Pacific Curls, which is more traditional Maori music and sort of mixed with Celtic fiddle, so that'll be interesting. And we have Dwayne Cote and Dwayne Andrews, who are East Coast artists that play gypsy jazz swing, so that'll be lovely. And we have an eight-piece soul band coming up, and a local artist called Sarah McDougall will be playing with her band, which is backed up by Whitehorse's finest players. And Declan O'Donovan is another young local player who's been he's amazingly talented, and he's sort of like a Tom Waits rootsy guy, and he'll be backed up by some really strong players as well. So that's our lineup.
And this is all happening in July. The exact dates, please?
July 6th through 8th.
How can people get tickets?
They can go to atlinfestival.ca for tickets. You can get them online. They apply a $2 surcharge fee. If you know anyone in Whitehorse, call them, and then you can just get them for $120 straight if your friends pick them up for you. We're only going to sell 1,500 tickets, so we'll probably sell out. So if you're interested in coming, try to get them in advance. And there's free camping on site included with a weekend pass purchase.
All right, Kim Wernicke, thank you very much for being on the air with me today and talking about the Atlin Arts and Music Festival happening in July.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care, everyone.
Alô, alô, responde com toda sinceridade. Alô, alô, responde gosta de mim de verdade. Alô, alô, responde com toda sinceridade. Alô, alô, responde, gosta de mim de verdade. Você não responde, o meu coração em lágrimas, desesperado, vai dizendo alô, alô. Ou se eu tivesse a certeza desse teu amor, a minha vida seria um rosal em flor. Alô, alô.
My name is 316 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are here to talk about the NIAC conference called The Profession of Play, going on not this weekend but next weekend. In the studio we have Lauren Brooks, and also on the telephone we have Dr. Thomas Moore. Dr. Moore, thank you very much for being in the station today with us electronically.
Well, thank you, and I'm happy to be with you.
First of all, let's get an overview of the conference, please, from Lauren Brooks, please.
Yes, AEYC is getting ready for our annual spring conference. It's for early childhood educators, and really anybody who is interested is welcome to attend. We have a lot of child care providers and people in the schools and occasionally parents. It's next Friday and Saturday, all day at Centennial Hall, and then there's a special family event on Friday at 6 p.m., which is open to the public, and that's going to be with Dr. Moore talking about music and that impact on early childhood education.
Dr. Moore, you're a nationally recognized consultant, speaker, workshop leader, recording artist. Thank you for being on the air with us today. Can you give us some idea of your background, please?
Well, I attended Manhattan School of Music in New York, and I studied voice, and I also worked with a jazz band. I developed a group of singers. I turned opera singers into jazz singers, and one of my singers was actually Angie Bofill, who is a well-known singer around New York, and we had wonderful times. But a lot of what I've been doing with music, I've been doing it the way that I learned to do it when I was a child. When I was a child, everyone in the family sang, everyone in our community sang, and we just invite people to get into a spirit of joyful singing. And through that, I learned to love music.
How do you connect kids with music?
Beg your pardon?
How do you connect kids with music?
Well, we sing together. I teach them songs. A lot of my songs are repetitive, and there's a lot of call and response in the songs. And the call and response style of singing I learned when I, as I went to church, someone would line out a hymn, and then we would respond as a congregation. So from the time I was in preschool, I was singing with my family and in church as well. And so a lot of my songs are very simple, I write them in a key that's comfortable for most people to sing. And I've been doing this for about 30 years now.
And you're one of the keynote speakers. What's the topic of your keynote speech?
My speeches will be centered around integrating music in the curriculum and using music to build community, to strengthen our communities.
And you're offering a free musical family workshop on the Friday of the conference, not this Friday, but the next Friday. What's going to be happening then?
And I will spend more time into talking teachers through how to use music appropriately with children. We will also spend time in talking about what are the appropriate kinds of activities for children to make sure that when we're introducing music, we're not separating it from other parts of the curriculum. But we're using music to strengthen children's understanding of self, as well as encouraging children to read and help them in their relationships with their friends.
Cool. Dr. Moore, I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you get back to your work there and where you're calling from. And I'll talk to Lauren Brooks here a little bit more about the conference. Thank you so much for being on the air with us today.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to visiting with you. I have a brother that lives in Sitka, Alaska, and he moved to Sitka about 10 years ago, and I was hoping to visit him while I was there, but it seems that he's going to be out of town. But I will come back after Anchorage. I've been there before, and I love the people there, and I look forward to singing with the children as well as the parents and teachers in your area.
One more question. What does singing do for the human body and the human voice?
Well, researchers have found many positive things that happens for us. And one of the things that I'm doing right tonight, I have a community choir that I have put together that are the people in the choir are mostly men who are recently homeless. They live in this three-story apartment building. And we have these men are singing, and as well as people throughout the community. One of our singers is actually a former president of the North Carolina Bar. Another singer is a city council person. But what we're doing is building community with our voices, and even people who have been rejected from other choirs, they can be a part of this choir because, again, the emphasis is more on community building. And music is more a vehicle to help us to get to that, to get to building community.
Sounds like you've got an exciting keynote speech ready at the NIAC conference coming up. Thank you for being on there with me, Dr. Moore.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, let's get back to some of the other keynote speakers if there could be at the AEYC conference. But before we do that, what does AEYC stand for people who don't know?
AEYC stands for the Association for the Education of Young Children. We used to be NIAC, tied into the National Association, but now we're kind of doing our own thing. AEYC Southeast.
And the topic of your conference is the profession of play, celebrating 30 years of early childhood education in Southeast Alaska. It's going on March 30th and 31st at Centennial Hall. Who are your other keynote speakers?
So our other keynote speakers are Holly Alyssa Bruno. And she, her keynote is about using humor and fun to build lasting teams. And we first heard of her when she came and spoke at an Anchorage conference. And she's a former attorney, and now she writes books and travels around and does keynotes. And so she's going to do a couple workshops, one about the using humor and fun, and then also one about reclaiming your passion for your job, and then another one about working with all different kinds of families.
Who's the conference for?
What is, like, the purpose of the conference?
And who is it for?
The conference, the idea of the conference is that it's a really good opportunity for all child care providers and early educators in Juneau to come together, have an opportunity to be with one another, talk about issues that are important to them. It's a great learning opportunity because we have three keynote speakers, and in addition to that, we have workshops, a lot of workshops by local people on various things. So it's an opportunity for them to advance their education and continue to bring new information into their workplace, working with the young kids of Juneau.
Will the keynote speeches be available to the general public?
They are not. That you have to register. The one thing that's available to the general public is the family workshop at 6 p.m. on Friday. But anybody can register for the conference. You don't have to register for both days. You can register for one day. I just put the conference program on our website so you can see everything that's going to be happening, and that's at aeyc-conference.org.
And how much does a conference cost to register for?
I believe if you're an AEYC member, then you get a bit of a discount, and that's just supporting AEYC, and that's $60 a year. And then without being an AEYC member, it's $205 for both days, and then maybe $50 less for one day. That includes lunch, which is catered by Abby's Kitchen and is excellent. And you definitely get a lot out of the conference for that.
One more time for that website, please, Lauren.
That's aeyc-conference.org.
All right, Lauren Brooks talking about the AEYC conference coming up the 30th and 31st of this month. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Just that our last keynote speaker is going to be Marjorie Fields, Dr. Marjorie Fields, she's an early childhood educator, kind of a pioneer in the field, and she used to be in Juneau, and now she's coming back, and we're really excited to have her as well. She's going to be doing our closing session. So, yeah, I just encourage people to look online and read more about it, and that's it.
All right, Lauren, thank you very much for coming down the station.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 22nd of March, 2012. It's the birthday of Stephen Sondheim, New York City, 1930. His musicals include A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods. Stephen Sondheim, who said, "I prefer neurotic people. I like to hear rumblings beneath the surface." It's the birthday of Billy Collins, New York City, 1941. An only child, wrote his first poem at the age of 7 while he was riding with his parents and looked out the window and saw a sailboat on the East River. He was an English professor and poet, wrote a couple of books before his breakthrough in 1988, The Apple That Astonished Paris. By 1999, the New York Times called him the most popular poet in America. 3 of his 4 books were in the top 16 bestsellers on Amazon.com, competing with Walt Whitman, Robert Frost, Jewell, and Jim Morrison. Billy Collins, who said, "I don't think people read poetry because they're interested in the poet. I think they read poetry because they're interested in themselves." It's the birthday of the novelist who wrote, "I just pointed my rifle at him and let him have the big one, right through the 3rd button on his shirt. If he ever figured to sew that particular button on again, he was going to have to scrape it off his backbone." And that's Louis L'Amour, born in Jamestown, North Dakota, 1908, author of many Western novels, including How the West Was Won. It's the birthday of the best-selling novelist in the world, James Patterson, born Newburgh, New York, 1947. He was an executive at the J. Walter Thompson Ad Agency, retired to devote himself to writing. He's published more than 70 novels, and according to recent data, he outsells Stephen King, Dan Brown, and John Grisham combined. James Patterson, who said, "If you think of the story that you tell that's your favorite personal story, it doesn't have flashy sentences. It doesn't have too much detail. It just tells the story. I decided to stop writing the parts that people skim." And it's the birthday of Edith Grossman, Philadelphia, 1936. Her parents were Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe, but she became obsessed with the Spanish language, became a professor of Spanish literature in New York City, and in the mid-1980s set out to translate Gabriel Garcia Marquez's novel Love in the Time of Cholera. It was such a success that Edith Grossman was able to quit teaching and begin translating full-time. She's since translated all of the books that Marquez has published since 1990. Here's a poem for today by Gary Young, In the Heat of Late Afternoon. In the heat of late afternoon, lightning streaks from a nearly cloudless sky to the top of the far mesa. At dusk, the whole south end of the valley blazes as the clouds turn incandescent with some distant strike. There is a constant congress here between the earth and the sky. This afternoon a thunderstorm crossed the valley. One moment the ground was dry, and the next there were torrents running down the hillsides and arroyos. A quarter mile off I could see a downpour bouncing off the sage and the fine clay soil. I could see the rain approach, and then it hit, drenching me, and moved on. 10 minutes later, I was dry. The rain comes from heaven, and we are cleansed by it. Suddenly, the meaning of baptism is clear to me. You can begin again, and we are saved every day. In the Heat of Late Afternoon, a poem by Gary Young from his collection Even So, New and Selected Poems, published by White Pine Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Time is 3:29, 3:30, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Tune into the Alaska Identity Project tonight at 7 o'clock when host Adrian Lopez will interview Dr. Jeep Rice, Program Manager of Habitat Assessment and Marine Chemistry for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, or the NOAA building. The upcoming 23rd anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill will discuss his role in extensive field work conducted after that tragic event. In the second half of the show, she'll talk with Michael Goldstein, Executive Director of the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center. It's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here on KTOO News, Alaska Identity Project. In the studio now with us, we have John Mueller, who's the Rural Advisor to the Governor, and Sarah Lynn Debatch, who's the Executive Director of AWARE, here to talk about next Thursday's Governor's Choose Respect March. Thank you very much for being in the station with me today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
So this march is being held all across Alaska. Any communities are going to be taking part in it?
I'm just thrilled to be here and be able to have a chance to talk about the Choose Respect rallies and marches across the state. As we know that on March 29th, there's going to be 119 communities that will be participating in it, and we're looking forward to that date.
And this is its third year?
That is correct.
What was the genesis for the initial march?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What was the genesis for the initial march?
Well, the whole idea behind the march was that there was some ownership from the communities in terms of the domestic violence and sexual assault. And what we've seen over the years is... I think in year one we had 18 communities. Last year we had 60-some communities, and I think we're at 119 communities today that have signed up. And it really is about taking ownership and saying no to a horrific statistical number that we lead the country in. And so I'm very, very proud of the communities that have signed up and that are participating in it. This is their event. They're in charge of it. Many of us are welcomed into it and participate with them.
Why is it important for both women and men to take part?
Well, it's a community issue. And, when I'm in the communities, when we have this discussion about this topic, it's about a healthy community. And men and women make up the community. It's an issue. The perpetrators aren't always men, but... we have to have a community effort in order to address this, and the solutions lie in the villages and in the communities.
You're the rural advisor to the governor. How much of the problem what's the scope of the problem in rural areas?
Well, since the effort, and, this governor is, I'm so proud to be a part of this administration. This governor takes a lot of courage to take on this issue. It's very, very complex and crosses multiple departments. And so since I've been involved in the governor's office, had an opportunity to see the effects and the positive effects of the efforts that have been taken, and frequently have the opportunity to speak with survivors. And how grateful they are for the efforts that the state's taken on behalf of this issue.
How does it differ, the problem itself, does domestic violence differ in rural versus rural urban areas?
Is there a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know that there's a difference. I think statistically we find areas that are probably have higher numbers than the other, but I'm not sure, maybe...
Sarah Lynn?
Yeah, I think, one of the dynamics of domestic violence and sexual assault is the isolation that is present. So isolation can be physical, it can be emotional, it's all different ways. So, for example, not being able to make a phone call or not being able to speak to somebody about what's happening or speak to a healthcare provider or law enforcement. And the more isolated people are, and geographically,
is included, you can't necessarily get away. You know, so even if you want to go someplace, there might not be some place to go. So I think that's one of the things that's particularly difficult in rural areas. And also what women have told us who have come from rural areas is about people knowing each other or people being related to each other and that making it extra difficult. So, you know, if there is law enforcement, for example, in a village, maybe that person, the law enforcement person, is related to either the victim or the perpetrator. So just issues of confidentiality and of safety can be of greater concern in rural areas.
I'm talking with John Mueller, rural advisor to the governor, and also Sarah Lynn Dubachnik, the executive director of AWARE, about the governor's Choose Respect rally in March, which is scheduled for Thursday, March 29th at noon. You want to give us the details about the Juneau rally in March, please?
Sure. We're going to meet at the Capitol, as you said, at noon, and we're really excited. You know, I think you asked about the community support and the community effort and men and women joining together, and it's really beautiful to recognize, and as John said, this is a community issue. You know, it's not AWARE's issue. It's not the governor's issue. It's all of our issues. If we want to really have an impact and make a difference in addressing domestic violence, sexual assault, in addressing how victims are impacted, how perpetrators are held accountable, that's going to take all of us. So anyway, we'll meet at the Capitol steps at noon and then march down to Marine Park. And I think there'll be some speakers there and a little bit of a rally. And I guess at 1, people have to go back to work.
If people need more information about it, or should they just show up at noon on the next Thursday? Or?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I'm going to be in a different community for it, but my understanding is it's noon at the Capitol steps.
Right, and I understand the lieutenant governor is going to be here in Juneau leading the march.
All right, that's happening March 29th at noon, starting at the Capitol building. If you have questions about that, just go to the event and they'll let you know all you need to know.
Sure, or call AWARE at 586-6623.
All right, Sarah Lynn Dubachnik and John Mueller, thank you very much for coming down. Is there anything you'd like to add or might have forgotten to ask?
Yeah, or further questions, you can always call the governor's office at 465-3500.
And, you know, I always like to say, if anyone has any questions or is in need of any safety or has any concerns, please call AWARE at 586-1090. Someone's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All services are free and confidential.
Sarah Lynn and John, thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
West Reading. The time is 3:39, and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau. Coming up tomorrow, Friday, at the UAS Glacierby Room from 10 o'clock in the morning until noon. It's going to be an Art of Place lecture and demonstration. In the studio with me to talk about it is Kathy Brody and also Ed Coons and Percy Coons. Thank you very much for coming down to the station, everybody.
Thank you.
Sorry, Kathy, let me turn your microphone on. Now you can talk.
All right.
Can you give me some idea of the background of the event, please?
Sure. This is the second annual Art of Place lecture and demonstration series at the university, started by Ernestine Hayes. And tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Ed and Percy Coons here in the studio is the third lecture and demonstration of the series. There's one more in April. And tomorrow, Ed will be talking about silver carving, and Percy will be talking about weaving.
Ed, how did you get started silver carving?
The subject was art and identity. So last year, the first one they did was when I spoke about silver carving. This year, it will be about identity. And identity is what we wear on our vests, on our blankets, and on our tunics, or on the headboard, which is called a shakyat. So people who know anything about the crest that we use will know which clan we are and which tribe we are. There are two different but equal tribes in the Thlinkit culture. One is eagle and one is raven. And it depends on what your mother was, because you always follow your mother's lineage. So mine is Raven Coho. And it goes back many years when C. Alaska was first starting. We had to write out our family tree. So our lineage goes back to a time when there were no English names, just everybody had Thlinkit names. So the names, the tribes, and what crest that they use, and the houses, in each clan they had several houses, and then at the end of the program, which is about 2 hours, I will be talking about our food, which is part of my identification, and how it's preserved, how we catch it, how we prepare it.
Tracy, what are you going to be talking about that tomorrow?
I'm very glad that I get to be part of this Art of Place. Last year, when they had the last presenter, somebody suggested that I say a closing prayer. And so I did. And when I did, I prayed for the program to continue. And here it is going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be part of it. I probably will be talking about my raven's tail weaving, my cedar bark weaving. I also do beading. And my raven's tail teacher was, I can't think of her name.
Cheryl Samuel, maybe? Cheryl Samuel?
Cheryl Samuel. My basket teacher, weaving teacher, was Della Cheney. And I learned while I was at a Thlinkit Night workshop. And I had a lot of teachers. Cecilia was one of my teachers. Eddie's mother, Cecilia Coons, was one of my teachers. She taught me how to do blankets and moccasins. Della Cheney taught me how to do cedar bark weaving. And I do raven's tail weaving. And I'm very glad to be part of this. I think it's a very interesting program, a worthwhile program, where people can get together with the artists and talk to them, actually meet them, and ask questions to them. So I'm very glad to be doing this.
Yes, Kathy, you're part of the organizational arm of this event. Why is their artwork important?
It's a window into any culture, people's artwork, and it speaks from the heart. And I think Ernestine Hayes wanted to set up this type of a lecture demonstration series so that there can be a good exchange and the cultural information about Tlingit people can be perpetuated. So that's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the university.
In the Glacier View Room?
In the Glacier View Room, that's right.
And I know another special event takes place, the food part of it.
Yes, next month, April 27th, also a Friday, 10 o'clock at the Glacier View Room, too, Helen Watkins will be presenting about food, and then there will be a Native Foods potluck afterwards. That's the fourth and final lecture demonstration of this second annual Art of Place.
If people need more information about it, how can they get that?
There's a Facebook and there's a website, or they can call Ernestine Hayes or myself either, but hope everyone can come at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the university.
Kathy Reddy, Ed Coons, and Percy Coons, thank you so much for being in the station with me today. It's been an honor.
Thank you, Jeff. Arts Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:47, and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juno in the Juno Afternoon Program. Nancy Duterney is our guest. Thank you for coming down, Nancy.
Thanks for having me over.
So still a lot of stuff going on in the community.
Oh, you know how it is. We just can't keep them home.
I noticed those posters are just posting over posters over posters.
They're just postering. They're just postering. It's nuts. It's nuts. Actually, this week was pretty light, so 2 weeks from now we won't have much to talk about. But it's still gold medal basketball games going on. We have tonight, Cycle Alaska is doing a little adventure series thing on Tour de France. That's over at the Cycle Alaska place. I think that's free. I think you were just talking with the AWARE folks about the coaching boys into men.
No, we're talking about the Choose Respect March, which is coming up a week from today.
Well, they have a thing going on over at Tlingit Haida that's sponsored by AWARE and the Thunder Mountain High School Boys Basketball about coaching boys into men. 586-6610 for more information. Pavitz is offering a seminar on Olympic lifting, if you're interested in that. That's at 6:30. All this weekend you have Raisin in the Sun. Again, this I have heard nothing but rave reviews. I'm on my way to see it this evening. I think this is a classic American theater. You need to go and see it. Get your tickets today. Don't wait. You can go online. You can call us. On Friday morning at 9, over at the Jack, they'll be, they're going to replace the Brotherhood Bridge, and there are those medallions on them, and they want to know what to do with them. So there's a public meeting to talk about that 9 o'clock Friday morning at the Jack. The DOT people are sponsoring that. You were just talking with Ed and Percy Coons about the Art of Place and their identity thing. Friday, this whole weekend, we have a new event, the first annual Sports and Rec Show. It starts at noon over at Centennial Hall. $5 gets you in. It's good for the whole weekend. It kind of replaces the boat show. It has lots of other things going on in it, so go over and check that out. It's all sorts of outdoorsy stuff. Get ready for the summer. out at noon at Nugget Mall, there's going to be a concert, the Moody Symphonic Band. They'll be playing for free at Nugget Mall at noon, and then they will be playing at 7 o'clock at Thunder Mountain High School. Both of those events are free. The museum has three of their exhibits opening on Friday as sort of a soft opening. Wonderful shows. Earth, Fire, and Fiber. This is the 28th one of those. Margot Class has her own exhibit, and Alaskan Book of Hours, and I was able to see some of this in advance. It's beautiful work. David Rosenthal has Landscapes opening. He will be doing a little talk at 6 o'clock, so come on over to the museum at 4:30 and then stay for that conversation. At 6:30, out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, they'll be talking about the construction of the Salmon Creek Dam. That's their weekly fireside lecture. That's free as well. We got Rough House Boxing. I don't know if that's arts, but there you have it. It's at 9 o'clock out at Marlantini's. On Saturday at 8:30 in the morning, runs all day. Over at the Canvas, they're having a seminar on professional creative arts therapy training. If you're interested in this, give them a call at 586-1750. Out at, not at 10 p.m. as I have written here, but 10 a.m., there is a Spring Equinox Jamboree sponsored by Juno Children Outdoors Coalition. It's out at the Saga Eagle Valley Center. It's free. It's all kinds of activities, and it's going to be a beautiful day. So go on out with your kid for that. At noon, Alaskan Wise Women Network has your organized self. I think this is a spring cleaning sort of a deal. It's over at the Douglas Community Methodist Church. You can give them a call, 209-3502. Also, the Juno Raptor Center is having their annual meeting, and it sounds way more fun than lots of annual meetings I've attended. How did... It's out at Nugget.
Got a little editorial comment there.
I say no more. But they will have birds and activities and all sorts of fun things going on out at the Nugget Mall. It's got activities for kids. It's free. It's at noon until 2, I think. And then at 2:30, you can go to the Yacht Club, where the Sons of Norway are having their annual Scandinavian Cultural Fair, which is also lots of fun. 3 o'clock, Cycle Alaska will tell you how to clean your bike and get ready for the season. And at 6 p.m., there is a Baha'i New Year potluck, dinner and dance over at the Jack. It's also the Saturday night swing at the Rookery. We've got Henhouse and Irene M. playing there. They start at 8. The Jazz Divas are at 7 o'clock at the Zephyr with Tom Loker and Walker Janelle. It's got Kari and Sammy and just the whole group of divas. I mean, you know, they're just a flock of them. What can I say?
And you've got a cabaret coming up in the April 1st, too.
We do have. I mean, there's just a lot of singing that goes on here. It's wonderful. They do suggest that if you'd like to go to this thing at 7 o'clock at Zephyr, you should get your reservations. Lyle Hebert's movie is premiering this weekend. It starts at 7 on Saturday night, shows at 7 at 9. There's several shows throughout the weekend. This features people that you know and will recognize, and it should be lots of fun.
It's called Little Red Book.
He's been working on this for some time, so do go down to the Gold Town Nickelodeon and take it in. There's a barn dance over at the St. Anne's Parish Hall at 7:30. It's the Bevels in Church, and Odette Edgar is doing the calling. Sunday at noon, there's the Juno Gamers Day over at the Arts Center. $10 a table, and they have all sorts of fun things going on over there. Check that out.
They're calling it a pop-up geek bazaar as well.
A pop-up geek bazaar.
Tomorrow on the afternoon.
All right. Well, I'm fascinated. I might stop in. At 2 o'clock at the Valley Library, Debbie Dahl Edwardson, Writing from the Top of the World. This is a talk. She's an author of all sorts of great books. That's free. Again, you can have the opportunity at 4 and at 7 on Sunday to see Lyle's film or go see Raisin in the Sun. Monday's Seward's Day, so it's a holiday for things like the library and city buildings and whatnot. But at 5 o'clock, we are having the last of our March Mondays. It's an arts roundtable, but it's also an opportunity if you're writing major grants, art grants, to come and have a question and answer period. Shannon Dott, who is the new Alaska State Council on the Arts Director, will be in town, and she is going to stop in with information about grants that you could also apply to from ASCA and also from Westaf, where she used to work. So that's at 5 o'clock on Monday, and it's free. Little Red Book is again on Monday at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, Sales having a cross-country ski clinic out at the Mendenhall Campground for skiers with visual impairments. So if you're interested in becoming a coach for those folks, or if you are a skier with visual impairments, check it out. Poetry Out Loud, finally here. We're having the statewide finals at over at the Jack at 7 p.m. This is free, but it's definitely something that I wouldn't miss. Even I do come. It starts at 5 o'clock and should end by 8. And we have some student here will have the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and compete for a $20,000 scholarship. It's a really exciting recitation sort of thing.
And when you say recitation, it kind of means it's an exciting, but these are exciting poems. They've memorized these poems, and they're more like a performance.
Yes, it is. And I'm not a person that immediately thinks of poetry as my favorite sort of thing. And I've talked to other people who said, I came by just to support, but left with tears in my eyes kind of thing. It's powerful. And it's definitely worth coming to see. These are Katie Jones is the Juno contestant. She's a student at Thunder Mountain High School. So come out and support the Juno team. And then we've got kids from, I think there's 10 kids altogether performing from all over the state. For this. So on Wednesday, there is a men's health clinic, the mechanics of wellness, keeping your engine running smoothly. Gentlemen, you can go over to at the Centennial Hall at 4:30, and that's free. Eagle Crest Master Plan Public Meeting at the Assembly Chambers at 6:30 on Wednesday. Find out what they're planning for and let them know what you think they need. Also at 7 p.m., Emily Wall will be doing readings from her new book of poetry, Communities of the Wild, Poems and Stories. This is the Wildlife Wednesday. It's at the UAS Glacier View Room, and it's free. And Thursday, as you mentioned, at noon, there's the March Against Domestic Violence. So we have quite a few things to do this week, as usual. I want to just mention, too, also, if I have time, Barefoot is coming on the 4th of April, and they just let me know that there's going to be a dance floor and there's going to be beer, so it should be lots of fun. Get your tickets. You can get them now at the Jack or at Hearthside or online. And also, I'm trying to get the word out. We didn't get this organized in time. Photos Dance Chicago is offering a student show. It will be on Thursday at 1 o'clock at Thunder Mountain High School. I need to get the teachers to know about this, so if they want to register their classes, they can sign up online for that. So if you're a teacher, or if you would like your child's students to go, or your child's class to go, help me get the word out to teachers. Thanks. That's all I have to say.
Nancy DiTerni, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me. Gonna go out and look at my crocus.
Folk Festival is near, and it's time to get in the spirit and polish those dance moves at the Barn Dance. Saturday, March 24th, 7:30 at St. Anne's Parish Hall, downtown on 5th and Gold. Odette Edgar will teach and call contra dances to live French, Canadian, and Celtic music by the Bevels and Church, featuring Kathy Fanning, Sally Donaldson, Nene Wolf, Wendy Parker, and John Church. As always, no experience or partners are necessary. Free for Saga, JVs, and under 13. Good music, good dancing, good times at the Barn Dance this Saturday.
Time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Swartz Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, here KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktoo.org. We have tonight at 7 o'clock, the Alaska Identity Project observing the 23rd anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. That's with your host, Adrian Lopez. Tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. Katie Bosler will be here with an update on the UAS Sound and Motion series. Jeremy Johnson will be here to talk about gaming in the Pop-Up Geek Bazaar. We'll learn about an upcoming lecture on building the business case for energy efficiency. Scott Willis will be here with a preview of his lecture tomorrow night at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center on the Salmon Creek Dam. And Lyle Hebert will be here to talk about the premiere of his new film, The Little Red Book. At Writer's Almanac, music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures around 30 degrees. Forecast for Friday, partly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 39 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 26 degrees. Forecast for Friday night, mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 26 degrees. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow and rain with high temperatures around 29 degrees and light winds. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today, and have a pleasant evening, and enjoy the good weather while it lasts.